Now, I would like to open your Bible to... Actually, I have to check that first. No, I start there first. Can I do that? Oh, I see, yeah, all right. I always start my preaching with those two verses. Revelation 12, verse 7 and 17. So if you could open your Bible, it's there anyway. Because I don't think we fully realize what is going on this earth today. So here I read. There was, you all know those verses, I'm sure. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought with his angels. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, do we fully understand the enormity and the seriousness of what we have just read? We are in heaven. There's a God, Creator God, that creates everything good, very good, but there is war in heaven. Now, we looked at Genesis. If you like to go to Genesis, we know the story in Genesis as God created heaven, Eden, put Adam and Eve in there. And what did he say to Adam and Eve? Come on, talk to me. That's right. All right. So, and what happened? That's right. Eve was there going. And then when everything was done, the Lord called Adam and said unto him, "Where are thou?" Now, as I said there, I believe there is two meanings to "where are you." The one is "where are you?" I can't find you. But the other one is "where are you?" means how did you get there? What happened? What are you doing here? Do you agree with me there? You know, it could be two meanings. And that's what I believe that God was saying. What? How did you get there? Now here, I said, I sense some sadness in the voice of God. It's like when your children do something wrong. You are sad that they've done what they shouldn't have done. So there's a bit of sadness because God knew where they were, right? But he still asked them. So I believe that the second meaning applies. How did you get there? His children have really separated from him by not fully understanding who God was and not really obeying him, like we talked about by faith, or faith this morning, right? Now, just that's another sermon, but interestingly enough, the temptation was on what? On food. What was the first temptation of Jesus? On food. So it's interesting that that's how God starts, right? But anyway, so we have to believe God and so on. Now, 1 Kings 19:9. The same thing happened, and he, Elijah, came thither into a cave. Now, I don't know if you remember, but the context is that Elijah was running from whom? Jezebel. All right? So, after what he did in Mount Carmel, he met a little woman, and he was running from her. And God says, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, and said to him, what are you doing here? So I believe then God did a special, something special to make people understand that God is always there. You can't hide from God. God is there. So he decided way behind before to make a sanctuary. Why? And I hope you're going to understand and see the thread of what I'm presenting today. Because I have to mention I'm not a preacher. And I'm certainly not fit to be one, but I just present some thoughts and some verses, and hopefully you go back home and have a look at the thread that I put in that, because there's much more to say, but the time doesn't allow us to do that. So, let them make me a sanctuary. Why did God make them a sanctuary? What's the reason? That's right. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. God wants to be with his people. And God wants his people to understand that he is always there. In Matthew 1:23, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring a son. And the name of his son shall be..." And what does that mean? God with us. God with us. It'd be a good idea for people to read maybe the first chapter of Desire of Ages on the life of Jesus or the beginning of Jesus, and that was excellent. It says, "The King of Glory stooped low to take humanity. He shunned all outward display. Riches," I don't know if I have that. Yeah. "Riches, worldly honor and human greatness can never save a soul from death. Jesus purposed that no attraction of an earthly nature should call men to his side. Only the beauty of heavenly truth must draw those who would follow him. He desired men to accept him upon the testimony of the word of God." God became a man, something I can't wait to go to heaven and see, how on earth did you do that? God became a man, showing the life that we must live in constant communication with the Heavenly Father. Matthew 28:18-20. "Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, do." Why? And he still emphasized again, "I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen." And I put there, what comfort to know that Jesus is and will always be with his people doing his work. Now we know that passage very well, I suppose, as a Seventh-day Adventist. "In the beginning, God was God," and so on, you know this. And then verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh." Why was he made flesh? Well, God to dwell among us. So from the beginning already, this is not very long since I started, but we can see that God wants to be with his people. He wants to make his people understand that he is always there. In Desire of Ages, he says, "As one of us, he was to give an example of obedience." And we know that in Hebrews it says he learned obedience through sufferings. For this, he took upon himself our nature, passed through our experiences. As man, he met temptation and overcome in the strength given him from God. His life testifies that it is possible for us also to obey the law of God. As the Son of Man, he gave us an example of obedience. As the Son of God, he gave us power to obey. Now here, "God with us is the surety of our deliverance from sin, the assurance of our power to obey the law of heaven." In John 14:1-3, I finished at the end there, it says, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also." God wants his people to be with him. It says there, "If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Colossians 61, "A perfect mind will be over us, for we have a living connection with their source of all enduring strength. We shall no longer live the common life of selfishness, but Christ will live in us." You know, I think it says in Ephesians 2:5, I think it says, "Let the mind of Christ be in you also," right? His character will be reproduced in our nature. By his perfect obedience, he made it possible for every human being to obey God's commandment. When we submit ourselves to Christ, the heart will be united with his heart. The will merged with his will, the mind become one with his mind, the thoughts are brought into captivity to him. We will live his life. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" And then in 2 Corinthians 6:16, it says, And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God and they shall be my people. I don't know about you, but I can't wait. I can't wait really to have that people will see Jesus in me. Won't see Pierre or anything, just see Jesus in me. And I prayed before, but I'm praying as I preach actually, that what I'm presenting, you will not see me, but I'm doing this only for the edifying of the church, for the purifying of the saints, and that includes me. I don't know, I'm not a saint, but I want to be purified. So I would like you to understand that. Revelation 7:15, and he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. We have seen in Genesis, and then now we see in Revelation, God can't wait to be with his people. You know, I haven't got it here, but Christ's public lesson 69, we know that. It says that when the character of Christ will be fully reproduced in his people, then God will take them as his own. God can't wait to fill up heaven with his people. To they who reveal the meek and lowly spirit of Christ are tenderly regarded by God. There will be among that number who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 21:3. Behold, that's some words in English that are hard for me to pronounce. The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and shall be their God. Look, only a little verse, three lines, how many times God says that he wants to be with us. In Hebrews 13:5, he that says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He is really always ready to deliver them that trust in him. Besides fighting with self, Christ did not tell his disciples that their work would be easy. They would have to fight against principalities, powers, rulers of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. He assured them that he would be with them and that if they would go in faith, they would move under the shield of omnipotence. What a protection over us, the shield of omnipotence. Now, there's a lot of other verses I could have put there. There's one there that I claim that every morning. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round his people. God is there all the time. Now, if you'd like to open your Bible to Exodus 29:44-46. Exodus 29:44-46.
And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God.
Amen. Number 35:34.
You shall not defile the land
in
which you live,
in the midst of which I go, for I am the Lord,
Amen. And
Deuteronomy 7:6. When you are holy people to the Lord your God, the Lord your God has chosen you to be people for his own possession, all the peoples who are on the face of the earth.
Amen. And all the other verses, you can note them if you like to, but this is what I'm trying to say today, and I hope you saw the thread, is that God wants to be with us. Are we as eager to be with him that he is to be with us? Sometimes we have the cares of these lives, and we say, oh, I'd like to go and visit so-and-so, but I can't really do it. I'm a bit busy. Maybe I could tomorrow. So I'd like to finish with a little story, a true story. I hope you don't mind my accent, but here you go. There's a man who was journeying on winter's day through the deep, drifted snow. And his whole body became numbed. So cold, he could not move his limbs much, and he was ready to give up. And as he was ready to give up and just lay down there and freeze to death, he heard one of his travelers mourning. So he went to the traveler, his friend, who was mourning, and he rubbed his limbs, the traveler's limbs, he rubbed his limbs, rubbed his legs, and he stood him up, and he carried him a little bit to, he said, come on, let's go. And he didn't realize that he actually was ready to die. But when he saw somebody else who was in need, he revived. He rubbed his members, his hands. And when he had borne his fellow travelers to a place of safety, the truth flashed home to him that in saving his neighbor, he had actually saved himself. His earnest efforts to save another quickened the blood which was freezing in his own veins and created a healthful warmth in the extremities of the body. These lessons must be forced upon young believers continually, not only by precepts, but by example, that in their Christian experience they may realize similar results. Now that's not my story. That was found in Testimony 4, 319 and 320. I'll just finish with this. Father, at the end, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. You know, John 17 is, what is it, John 17? Jesus prayed. And he was longing to have these people with him, God with us. He wanted these people to have been with him. So, we just had a study on how God is longing to dwell with these people. Are we individually, or as a people, as eager to dwell with him and rescue others? For by so doing, our spiritual energy will be revitalized and Christ will not ask us, where are you? Why? Because we will be with him. Anybody wants to do that? Anybody wants to be with God? Yes, amen. Let's bow our heads, please. Gracious God in heaven, we have just heard how much you want us to be with thee. So please, may our prayer be that when you are going to ask us, where are we? We are going to answer, here I am, Lord. Send me. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.